brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
Hello, it's sipping time again, and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m. This is a one-hour show.
How long? A whole hour?
Yeah, we're in 1 hour. Trying to figure out how much of it's going to be entertaining. I'm not really sure.
Well, we lost the first minute.
I don't know. In this whole new, bubonic plague world, I don't know. We're shooting for about, 4.5 minutes?
Are we recording already?
Yes. So glad you joined us.
So I've got a fever, sorry.
Yeah, Well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today are Made Man Brent.
It's a pleasure to be here. I'm getting used to this self-isolation and the social distancing. It's really nice. And I know we put Maury in that other room, but what exactly is in that other room?
A rabid pit bull.
Dude, I thought so we put the games.
4 or 5 communicable diseases and a raging case of herpes.
So it's nothing, something normal for him.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
Every day at the clinic.
Yeah. So, and good old boy, Justin.
Good morning, Bob.
And good old boy, Harmeet.
Keep your distance, Bob. Keep your distance. I actually like this whole social distancing thing, man. That's the way I want to live. So I won't live.
I don't know. I pretty much practiced that my whole life.
Bob's been waiting for this all his life. He's like, oh my God, other people are going to wash their hands now?
You can't wash your hands. All the soap and the Lysol's gone. And God forbid you'd need toilet paper.
We got to run our own home distilleries to make hand sanitizer. I bet they won't enforce that.
I'm sure no one here would ever,
ever
do such a thing.
Of course not.
Because that would not be legal.
I think it is legal to distill as long as you don't sell it, right?
No, not legal.
No, not at all.
Maybe if you go 3 miles offshore, you might get away with it.
Yeah.
Well,
that's possible as well. But, you know, anything that happens out in the open ocean is your own business.
Stays out in the open ocean, right?
All right. Well, Brent and myself are with the Bourbon Mafia.
Except for the cruise lines.
The Bourbon Mafia is a nonprofit organization composed of bourbon enthusiasts and industry professionals with representation in 8 states and 2 countries. Our members combine a love of bourbon with a passion for charitable work. The group uses their love of our native spirit to raise money for local and national charities through rare bottle auctions and other themed events. You can check them out on Facebook at the Bourbon Mafia. We are also sponsored in part by the Fort Lauderdale Whiskey Society. To find out more about the society and their events, you can visit them at ftlws.com, or you can read the lovely article that they did on us in Wine Spectator Whiskey Advocate magazine a couple of weeks ago. And our show is also sponsored in part by Fine Spirits in Cooper City, Florida, home of all the virus you can take home in a glass.
It's the best virus. We only distill the best. Although we did sell out of, Everclear? People making their own sanitizer? We sold out right away.
Everybody
what proof is you? Everclear in Florida, huh?
150.
150?
151, my friend. Yeah. 151, baby.
Yeah, you can't get 190 in Florida anymore.
It's not right.
Thank God I'm way past college because you can still get it in the 80s.
Yeah.
I don't really remember the 80s.
I used to drink Bacardi 151 in the 90s.
They stopped making it.
I know, it's sad.
Yeah. There's other one better 151 rums, but you shouldn't make hand sanitizer out of rum. Yeah, it's called that molasses, and at least the ones that I have, they're
get sticky hands.
Sticky, yeah.
That defeats the purpose. Trust me, that's not why his hands are sticky. They were sticky long before this epidemic, my friend. Long before. So
there's a great Cards Against Humanity card. It says, "Why am I sticky?" Every time we played the game, my wife would pick that card. So when we got the write-in cards, why is Shannon sticky? Pick 2.
All right. Well, we're all about our sips evidence are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and other drinks. And today's show is on the fine whiskeys from that boutique-y whiskey company. So here's some of the whiskeys from them that we're going to be talking about today. We have their Irish Single Malt Number 1, Batch Number 4. Their Irish Single Malt Number 1, Batch Number 5. The Japanese Blended Malt Whiskey Number 1. The Ben Rennie 17-Year-Old Batch Number 5. Three Ships, 6 years old. Glenmorangie 12-Year-Old. And the Isla Number 2, Batch 4. So we're going to have Justin try and try.
Nobody else is going to attempt Afrikaans.
To read our whiskey ratings, and he's going to do it in his best South African accent, because why the hell not? He hasn't done one of those yet, so.
And we're too chicken to try.
Right, man.
Yeah.
Okay. One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
Not buying it.
Two sips. Nice. But what else do you have?
No.
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
I'm buying the this.
Interesting.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's not even in Africa.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that is supposed to be.
Five sips. Oh my, I was unaware anything could be this good.
Sounds like a secondary villain in a bad Bond movie. Like a Bollywood remake of a Bond movie.
That's what I was channeling, yeah. So you nailed it.
Lethal Weapon 6.
Yeah. Yeah, Lethal Weapon 26, the Bollywood edition. Oh, you are so crazy, Mr. Man. I do not think this is going to work for you.
I can't wait for the music sequences.
Yeah, oh, yeah. At the end, that's the best part is you know, all the bad guys and the good guys.
Like, what, they all dance, right?
I have a 6-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. You guys make fun of Bollywood, but that's all they're watching. It's not Bollywood. It's Disney films.
Yeah.
They're all just breaking into song and dance for no reason. Just like in Bollywood, man.
Yeah. Right.
We're taking over.
It's exactly the same, just less accents. So, you know.
Well, they've got this zombie guy, my wife. My daughter's in love with this.
All right,
he's cute. You're too young to think he's creepy. Cute.
You want me to make him go away?
Yeah, we need to make him go away.
I still have keys to a backhoe. All right, so we're going to have Brent tell us a little bit about that boutique whiskey company.
Thanks, Bob. The Boutique Whiskey Company is an independent bottler based in the UK. Their goal is to seek out barrels of whiskeys from world-renowned brands and distilleries. Each bottle has a fun and informative graphic novel style
informative.
Label.
Informative.
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 He's been drinking. Leave him alone.
Graphic novel style label containing humorous references and jokes to try to keep the fun in whiskey. So let's have some fun and get to tasting of our first whiskey. So the Boutique Whiskey Company, this first one is an Irish single malt, number one. It's batch number 4, 14 years old, 47.6 ABV or 95.2 proof for those mathematicians out there. The color, it's a very, very light yellow color, almost like a little green tint to it. It's very light. On the nose, I get a lot of fruits. I get bananas. I get some. Some other, the apricots maybe, a little bit of vanilla, and I get like Cheerios in the nose there. Like I'm smelling a little bit of Cheerios, like cinnamon Cheerios. On the palate, very, very soft. This one is just, it's just a creaminess in your mouth. It's got the brown sugar comes out, then you get some peaches. It's a little bit of spice on the end of it. It's just a nice, refreshing, easy drinking whiskey. It's very soft, very smooth, very gentle. It's
what do you think, Justin?
I think that if you had to pair a whiskey with Lucky Charms breakfast cereal, this is the one. It was sweet. I had like apricots, very subtle floral notes, creamy vanilla, and sugar. And on the palate, I got peaches, brown sugar, spices. The flavor hit me on the sides of my tongue, not really on the front or the back. And at the end, I got a little bit of spice, cardamom, and I found the finish was medium sweet. What did you think, Harmeet?
I'm tasting it again because I got to do this front back side thing, and I think you're actually right.
Yeah, there's definitely the in the center, on the sides. It drops off. Yeah,
it's and both of you, I really enjoyed that your tasting notes. I think they're spot on, and I don't like saying that to either of you. This is messing me up. But the peaches on the side is there. It's gorgeous, and that cereal note is. It's not quite Cheerios, but it's close. Maybe it's between Cheerios and Lucky Charms. So why the hell are you guys right today? What's going on? But I actually quite find this much nicer than when we first poured it. It was just a little one note. And in the meantime, I actually did put some water in it, and that did bring out more peaches. At first, I was thinking, is that Nilla wafer? No, it's freaking Cheerios. How do I not know Cheerios? I mean, I'm sure I had to clean up a bunch of it this morning.
There's probably 400 of them underneath the front seat of your car. Yeah, this is lovely. It's got a great nose on it. It's very floral. The apricots really, really jump out at you.
Did you guys do water at all or no?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And that brings a cereal note out a lot.
Well, I find like I got more of the peach on from the water and air.
No, it's very interesting. I mean, I get on the palate, I get the peaches. I get the peaches more with water. That definitely comes out, and brown sugar. And there's a sort of a tannic nuttiness to it.
And at 95.2 proof, it can take the water. So it's not, even I put so little water, it's still a little bit hot.
Yeah, no, Justin's spot on it, that it's all tip of tongue, side of tongue, and back of tongue. There's the middle of the palate is
it's mostly on the sides.
Yeah, it's you pick up the especially the spice down the sides of the tongue.
Okay. Yeah, and a little bit on the top of your back of your mouth too. You get that.
Yeah,
too,
so. Yeah, I get it on. Yeah, I get right. It on the top on the roof of the mouth as well. Yep. Which is interesting. There. So, well, we're going to be reading this one, three sips.
Interesting.
And we'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we are discussing some of the whiskeys from that boutique whiskey company. So we just finished talking about the Irish Single Malt Number 1 Batch 4, was it? Yeah. And we are moving on to our next whiskey, and we're going to have Justin tell us about that one.
All right. This is that boutique whiskey company, Irish Single Malt Number 1, Batch Number 5. It's 15 years old, and it's 46% alcohol by volume, which makes it 92 proof. On the color, I got the light scotchy color.
It's still too light. You can't make hand sanitizer out of it, dude.
No, I know. You're right.
Then
120 proof.
I'll just drink it.
Not useful in the zombie apocalypse. So I got honey, apple, pears on the nose, bananas, and just a little hint of lemon spice. On the palate, I got a big honey punch right in the beginning, followed by a hint of vanilla, and then on the mid palate, towards the end, with the middle of the tongue, I got some spice, I got a malt hit, and then it was like a medium long sweet finish. But I don't want to say that this is overly sweet. It is pretty well balanced. What'd you think, Brent?
Yeah, I agree with all those, everything on the nose there, that honey, the pears, the bananas, that lemon really comes out. On the palate, the first thing that hits me is the malt. That's what I get first.
I smell the malt, really. I mean, to me, the malt is...
The first thing hits me is the malt, and I may get that confused with a graham cracker. But it's very sweet. It's very like a very fruity, and like the bananas and citrus. It's very it's very nice, very sweet, smooth. You know, it's very short finish though. That's the only thing I don't really? You know. Yeah, I thought it was a short to medium finish. You know, it just doesn't linger very long. It's just, it's all there, and then it just, it's like, well, you want some more because it's kind of gone.
That's good for them. You keep drinking more.
Yeah,
but I mean, I agree with both of you again. Like, what is going on today? it's just
it's the virus.
It's the virus.
Yeah,
it's eating my brain. I got more pears than honey, but
must be a very hungry virus. I bet you're starving.
I hate you so much.
It's the skinniest virus you've ever seen. It's the Slender Man of virus.
So, I at first on the nose, it's all about malted barley, and then I get that pears, and citrus, and a little bit of nuttiness that comes back. I don't know what kind. It's like, it's hazelnut. But anyway, on the palate, I gotta say, I enjoyed what you guys were saying about it. It's all there. Citrus, orchard fruit. I got more bananas, but I tend to be more sensitive toward banana-like flavors and whiskeys because I'm allergic to bananas. So that generally puts me off. But I'm sensitive to the banana thing. But
oh, so from now on, we know what to feed him.
Right.
Awesome.
All they do is make my mouth tingle.
We should be chasing him around the house with one like a dagger.
We'll have a banana flambé, cream pie.
Yeah,
right. Oh, you know, that's the best part. Cooked bananas are not a problem.
Give him a banana shake. Okay.
Yeah, I got to give me those bananas Foster, man. I'll go out of my way for that.
The plantains? Oh, that's not a problem either then, huh?
Plantains are fantastic, yeah. So this is excellent.
I just thought he was not allergic to plantains.
You know,
no, not allergic.
Logic.
To interesting.
Well, but you don't eat raw plantains. It's raw bananas I'm allergic to.
Oh yeah, you're right.
So anyway, there's a banana here because a lot of Irish whiskeys have that kind of banana note. Anyway, this is quite good. I don't think the finish is short like Brent was saying. It's more medium, and the fruit comes back on it. I really enjoyed it, Bob. What'd you say?
I'm just thinking about all the ways I can torment him with a banana now. That's, you know, like, oh my God, I've got a whole new avenue of entertainment.
Stop making that gesture when you say banana.
Yeah, on the nose, definitely I get the pear, and I get the honey, and I get that sort of lemon curd on the tip of the nose. And I get just a slight bit of the banana, not so much. I get more of the citrus than I get the banana.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Like I said, I'm being sensitive to it. Mm. But the citrus is beautiful, and the nuttiness. What's the nut? Is it hazelnut, or am I wrong?
Mm. Probably hazelnut. It's not. It doesn't have the tan and the bitter of a walnut.
Nowhere near. It's not sweet like a pecan.
And it's sort of like.
Did we say pecan? Did we ever have that argument on the air?
Many
pecan
times.
Pecan?
Yeah.
Pecan.
It's pecan.
It's pecan.
Pecan.
No.
Pecan.
That's what people from Georgia call it. People from Georgia don't count. So. My family from North Carolina. It's pecan. So, yeah.
Pecan's what you use on your road trip. It's a pecan.
Well, is it police or is it police? You know?
It's po-po.
Yeah.
It's 5-0.
Yeah. In Alabama, it's definitely police. Honey graham kind of note on the palate, along with the malt and a little bit of the spice. And I get just the slightest bit of oak on the palate, but all said and done, you know, a really nice Irish whiskey. And we're going to rate this one 3 sips.
Under protest, I gave it 4. You guys are heartless, cruel bastards, with the banana.
Well, this one's still the same. The funny thing is the first one we did did improve. It drastically improved over the time we first poured it to where we started recording. And honestly, that one I think we might have even underscored just a slight bit. But
it did improve quite a bit.
Both of them solid whiskeys so far. So we're going to
same whiskey at different ages, right? Malt number one?
No, they're different batches.
Well, yeah, but it's single malt number one.
Yeah, but I mean, it's different batches, so it means it's different barrels. So yeah. Malt number one may mean, it might mean the same
distillery.
I'm hoping it might mean
they bought a couple of hundred at one time. I don't know.
If they call it, if they give it a number and they don't keep it consistent between distilleries, nothing makes sense anymore, man. Nothing makes sense.
Well, nothing makes sense anyway. Especially fractals and complex math.
Can't find toilet paper.
Like you use it anyway. All right. So let's move on to our next one from that Boutique Whiskey Company. This is the Japanese Blended Whiskey number 1, batch number 3. It's 21 years old, 47.7% ABV or 95.4 proof for the mathematically disadvantaged. So on the color of this, very slight, almost just a slightly golden straw.
It's straw. It's almost like zero color. This has got to be second and third use barrels all.
It's got, you know, it's got a little bit of glow to it when you put it on the white. So on the nose, that characteristic Japanese whiskey sandalwood note. This I definitely get bananas and a little bit of vanilla. It's got a bit of an oily nose to it. Try it on the palate.
Don't put your nose in the whiskey, then you won't feel the oiliness.
And on the palate, it's got some spice to it, a little bit of oak. It's got a very herbal nature to it. Very, very herbal. And on the back palate, on the finish, a little bit of sugar, a little bit of brown sugar. Almost like a Demerara. Yeah, interesting. What do you think, Brent?
Okay, on the nose, I got like a field of flowers with a little bit of honey and then that sandalwood. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of matched up with what you had there. But on the palate, I got, first thing that hit me right away is a light smoke. And what this really did was it reminded me of driving up 27 when they're burning the sugar cane in the fields. And it kind of got that smell from it in, you know, on
yeah,
the palate.
It's more of a burny, ashy, smoky than
I mean, it just kind of reminded me, like, you know, you got the windows down and they're burning the sugar cane out in the fields, and that's kind of the
arson, and you're not supposed to talk about that on radio because they'll find you.
You know,
the basement is not that deep.
You know, but I got that, and you know, with the it was pleasant. You know, but that's what it reminded me of, that drive down 27. Justin?
I think this spirit reminds me, especially the nose, of Japanese Malort. You get nailed with a floral note right off the bat.
Malort. Do you want to explain Malort to people? Have we talked about Malort?
Malort tastes like fermented grass that's distilled into a spirit. Think vodka with lawn shavings.
Not just lawn.
That's generous.
Yeah, that's generous.
That is generous.
Lawn and decomposing peat.
Malort's from where? Norway?
No. Well, it's the pride of Chicago, but recently it was purchased by a company and brought back to Chicago. But for about 14, 15 years, it was actually made, I think, in Auburndale, Florida.
Wow.
So it's the pride of Chicago that was made at a contract distillery, an industrial distillery in Florida.
Denmark or Norway? No. It sounds like something like your Norwegians.
It pretty much came from hell.
Yeah. it tastes like that's people who really can't afford good whiskey or food buy, you know, like Vikings. You would have to drink this because there's nothing else to drink.
It's something you drink on a dare.
Yeah. That's what we use it for.
Yeah.
So on the palate, I got like intense oak. Again, I got the herbal thing coming through. And in the beginning, I got tons of dirt and smoke with a little bit of brown sugar hidden under that. But as air got it, the earth and smoke lessened a slight bit. And there was a long finish, and frankly, I couldn't wait for it to end.
There's always one in the group. You ever notice that? There's always one.
They'll make it two. I'm not down on this whiskey as much as he is, but I didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I would for a 21-year-old Japanese whiskey. The sandalwood is there, but it's very light. I'm from India. I've got hand-carved sandalwood in the house, hand-carved sandalwood furniture even. And this is not really sandalwood per se.
Licked it?
I have not licked any of the sandalwood. Not since I was a kid. Because it smells so good, you kind of want to put it in your mouth, you know. Mm-hmm.
You are one disturbed little monkey.
You cannot make tasting notes until you taste everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why I asked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, you put cigars in your mouth. Cigars are much grosser than sandalwood.
No, I don't put them in my mouth.
Yeah. Well, that's subjective.
Well, I don't want to hear where he, I don't want to know where he puts the cigars now. Yeah.
Mr. Clinton, where do you put the cigars?
It's better in your mouth. Anyway.
Well, we have one.
So he's had a comparison. That's great.
We got a little rule back home. If it's brown, drink it down.
So it's grassy, like he was saying, but not Malort grassy. A little bit of like floral notes, but not over the top. It just and there is that you know, I'd never thought about that sugarcane burning smell until Brent said it, and I think he's right. it's like when they burn the fields to clear them for the next harvest or the next planting, whatever they do for sugarcane. They just have
slash
to burn it down,
and burn farming.
Slash and burn, and it just grows right back. They don't have to replant,
done it
right?
For thousands of years.
Yeah,
if not more.
So on the palate, it's quite a little bit green, earthy. Light smoke that builds. The finish is kind of long and not all that great. I thought they could have picked a better Japanese whiskey for this.
All right. Well, we're gonna rate the Japanese whiskey from Boutique 3 sips.
You are generous. It's because you two liked it. It's like, and I'm with Justin on this one, and I can't believe I'm saying this.
Maybe he could shut up.
Who took harm and put this guy in here?
Maybe he could be quiet long enough to tell us about our next whiskey.
Fine. The next whiskey is much better, and I love it. It's the Benrini 17-year-old batch number 5, 95.2 proof or 47.6% alcohol. The color is kind of a burnished copper, and on the nose, I get flowers, just a field of flowers and some lemon and a little bit of nuttiness. It's quite good. There's some barley there, and I'm coming back to it. Is there a hint of citrus at the end? I'm not sure. Palate, nuts, almonds, and hazelnuts, and there's a sweetness here too. Let me take another sip. Mm. It's so yummy. It's yummy, and there's a little hint of white pepper at the end there. Medium-long finish. It's a good balance between the sweetness of the whiskey and the bitterness of the nuttiness, and it's so good. It's just balanced. I enjoyed this. Brent, tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, on the nose, you have a lot of promise. You have lemons and flowers, and it's a little bit of sweetness with that citrus on it. The nose is so promising. And then once you get it on your palate and you taste it.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah,
this one to me, if I would have named this one, I would have called this one Sweet Pete. Because you get...
really? Was that your boyfriend in the Navy?
Sweet Pete. Brent was a sailor. I'm just pointing that one out. You
know, he was a coastie there. Sorry.
Long, lonely nights on the sea.
I mean, you have a lot of this one's overly peaty for me and overly sweet to me.
It's not super peaty for me. I don't think.
No.
Well, for me it is.
All right. I didn't even mention Pete in the notes.
Before I opened the bottle, he started screaming, too much Pete, too much Pete. So I think he can smell it through glass.
I think that was a flashback.
Yeah.
He smelled it.
Sweet Pete, no, too much.
Sweet Pete.
He smelled it before he turned on the street.
Yeah.
Kidding me?
Yeah, he's still smelling the Everglades. So.
Right.
What'd you think, Justin?
Well, I didn't get Pete on this. I got a huge white pepper hit. And the nose, like Brent said, is promising, like lemon tart, pleasant floral notes and citrus. But the pepper just hit me right off the bat, and it never left.
Really? It just comes on the end for me. And now just, that I'm boom. Retasting it, there's a hint of peat, but it's not like the predominant taste on this.
Nah, it's pepper.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a little bit of nuts and almonds in there. And the finish is really long.
It's mellowed out with a couple drops of water.
Yeah, I didn't even try it with
probably
water.
Probably the way to
I didn't even try with water.
And mill it out quite a bit with that.
Yeah, just check it out again. But I kind of liked it. And look how oily
Brent
it is.
Fixed it.
Yeah. Look how oily it is. When you put the water in this, you guys
go, oh, yeah, look at that. It's
oily.
Yeah, yeah, it is very, very oily.
It's got a great viscosity to it. I mean, it's so oily, you'd think it's a Campbelltown. I mean, it's just really thick.
It's the mobile one of whiskeys.
Yeah, well, I mean, Campbelltown whiskeys have that characteristic, but this is lovely. I mean, it's absolutely lovely. Again, the lemon.
Yeah, I've got a 21-year-old Ben Rennie's in the store that's ridiculously expensive. I think this is a good option to buy a half bottle like this at 17-year-old.
So all these bottles, they all come in, what, 375s, right?
Yeah, we didn't mention that earlier. Their standard size is 375 milliliters. They're all small batch or single barrel. This way they can get more bottles out there to the public. And they're like the name of the company is Boutique Whiskey Company for a reason.
And they also do these very neat little tasting kits that you can buy that come with little small bottles, little dipped in wax and everything. And you can get them, in selections. I mean, you can get like five different ones, and you can, I think you can mix and match and pick them. They were starting a new whiskey club kind of thing where they would ship it to you like every month or every other month. But yeah, this is just.
I get a little
peanut on it, on the nose, almost sort of that Jim Beamy kind of peanut note to it. But it's on the palate. It's just it's not. We get the Mr. Pete over here. It's not peaty. Well, it's just got just a nice underlayment, just a little bit of smoke.
The peat here comes across more to me as earthiness than smoke.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, it doesn't come across as peat. It comes across as earthiness. There's that light hint of smoke, really on the exhale more than anything. I get it.
It's called retronasal.
Oh, God, here we go. I'm going to find the guy that bought this idiot, his little calendar with the big giant multisyllabic word every day, and I'm going to kick him right in the
butt. I think his mom rammed his vocabulary builder down his throat during the SAT process.
I'm from India.
No, trust me.
We have to do the spelling bee, too.
Oh, we're rating this one 4 sips.
That's classified.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. Slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we're still talking about some lovely whiskeys from that Boutique Whiskey Company. We just finished talking about the Ben Rennie's 17-year-old lovely whiskey. I gave that 4 sips. So now we're going to move on to our next whiskey, which is a very interesting one. It is 3 Ships, 6 years old, batch 1, 107.4 proof, 53.7 ABV. This bottling comes from the James Sedgwick Distillery in Wellington, South Africa. This whiskey split its time aging first in American oak casks and then in some Pedro Ximenez sherry casks. So let's get into this one.
You can see that Pedro Ximenez influence on the color, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's got this is the darkest one of all the ones that we've had today. This is almost like an old penny. On the nose, it's got a lot of sweetness to it. It's got a bit of nutmeg and cinnamon, a little bit of leather. I mean, their tasting notes say vanilla ice cream, and now that I'm reading it, I'm actually starting to pick up on it. I don't know if I am picking up on it or if I'm just subject to suggestion.
There's vanilla. I wouldn't call it vanilla ice cream. I mean, that's an oily whiskey, but not.
It's got an absolutely beautiful nose, though. I mean, I
keep coming back to it.
Yeah.
It's intriguing.
Yeah.
Do we have more of this? Is there the samples are gone? Did you kill this man?
No, that's all we got.
Yeah, man. Wow.
But it's got a very, very interesting nose. And again, a South African whiskey is something most people probably, you know, listening to us other than the fans online who are in South Africa, probably have not really had very many of them. On the palate. It's very herbal, but it's I get a lot of it's like a cinnamon bomb. I swear, it's like it's almost like it's the
where's the cinnamon coming from?
The thing I can't get on this.
I associate cinnamon with French oak, not American oak.
Huge. Pedro, I mean, it's Jimenez almost like a it's like a mini Fireball malt whiskey.
good one.
You know, not full blown in your face cinnamon, but so ramped up. I don't know.
It's there. It's in your face.
I don't know where they're getting this much cinnamon out of what they're doing with it, but it is an absolute cinnamon, nutmeg, and baking spice bomb.
They say an American oak cast from where? I wish we knew more about their cast because this doesn't smell like American oak.
From America.
From America.
And then Pedro Jimenez.
Cursus Aber, Cursus Garianus.
And it's got. You know, I get that. I get the raisins from the PX. I get just a little bit of the barrel char on the tip of the tongue and about halfway back. A little bit of toffee sweetness. Very, very intriguing whiskey. I can see whiskey geeks loving this and, you know, spending an hour trying to deconstruct it and figure out what's in it. So what do you think, Brent?
Okay, the nose on this one is probably the most complex nose I've ever had in a whiskey.
Seriously?
I mean, you just come back, you get it every single time that you go to this thing, you get something different.
Yeah.
You know, every single time you can pick up another note and they blend together so well that the nose kind of overpromises things to me.
Because yeah, that's always kind of disappointing, right?
Yeah.
The
nose is amazing. This nose is amazing. The nose is, you know, it's not like any kind of regular scotch. It's not like any kind of regular bourbon. It's very, very complex. It's got a lot of different, all those things to it.
I'm just still trying to figure out where all that's
at. Yeah, the vanilla, that oak, molasses, leather. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, leather, definitely leather's on the nose here.
Yeah, and then
worn leather, yeah.
And then it just keeps, I could smell it all day. It's great. But then on the palate, for me, I get burnt raisins. Cinnamon, then that pepper, a little bit of toffee. Yeah, I know. That's what I get. For me, it just doesn't come across. It doesn't follow that nose.
Like little overdone raisin oatmeal cookies.
Yeah, it just doesn't come across as the nose is so promising.
It's he's right. It's just the burnt raisin, not the oatmeal.
You know,
good notes on that, dude.
What
do you think, Justin?
Right, man. So this spirit is really interesting. My guess would be that they actually added some cinnamon flavor to this whiskey because I don't think they're prohibited from doing that under the whiskey rules. Bourbon, they couldn't do it, but whiskey, they could.
Scotch, you can't do it either.
Well, this isn't scotch.
It's just whiskey.
Yeah.
So much this is looser
South African
rules.
Whiskey, yeah.
So they could have done.
They dumped a box of Red Hots in it.
They could have. Or those cinnamon toothpicks.
I'd like to think they didn't, and that just makes it even more interesting.
I would like to think they did it too.
I would like to think they used a whole bunch of cinnamon toothpicks because now you got oak influence as well.
That's not oak.
But not, no, it's some
cinnamon oil. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it pine? Pine and cinnamon oil?
Cinnamon oil, yeah.
And it was really interesting. Like Brent says, I've nosed this thing six times. It's like a different whiskey.
Only six, dude. I've done six times. Just since you've been talking. This is great.
And I got a big pepper, herbal hit, barrel char. It doesn't taste like a six-year-old whiskey at all. It tastes a lot older than that because it's got 100%. So much barrel influence.
It doesn't taste young either.
Yeah.
It's like just, it's confusing.
Scotch is like 1 year in bourbon.
Yeah.
So.
Well, this is South Africa. It's bloody hot.
Wicked hot.
Yeah,
you think they aged it there?
It's from South Africa, so I mean that's where it was. Yeah, so
wow. What do you think, Harm?
I've already interjected during everyone else's comments because I'm so excited. So whatever.
Well, we're gonna give this three ship 6 year old from Boutique Whiskey Company three sips.
Interesting.
To match three ships.
I want to give it more sips, but I agree with Brent that the nose is amazing, and then the palate doesn't deliver.
The palate's just different.
Right, it's just so different.
It's not bad.
It's not where we used to.
It's not fantastic. It's confusing, to be honest with you. And I kind of dig it, you know, because of that. So we're going to move on to our next one. We're going to have Harm tell us about that.
Sure. So this is more of a staple, something we're more used to if you're a whiskey drinker. This is the Boutique Whiskey Company Glenmorangie, 12 years old. Old Batch 4, 97 proof. Old Batch 4? That's a thing now? Old Batch versus regular batch. The label on this whiskey depicts a flood that happened in 2002 after the River Lossie burst its bank. The water made its way to the warehouses and carried away some of the Glenmorangie's casks right out the door. So, cute. The nose. Initially, I get a lot of butterscotch and that blew off. And I come back and it's fruit. Little red wine notes, cherry, lemon. I'm going for some. There's some waxiness coming out. I think that's a Benmorangie characteristic, the waxy floral thing going on. And then on the palate, just creamy and smooth. And that butterscotch comes back with gangbusters now. Let me try another sip. Butterscotch, spiciness. Is that like it's a pepper, but I don't know what kind there. And it's butterscotch, oak, creamy, peppery. Fruits coming back on the finish, a little more cherry.
It's a classic Glenmorangie.
Yeah.
Glenmorangie has got that smooth and creamy nature to all of their whiskeys. And when you taste this, if somebody, you know, gave it to you and didn't tell you it was Glenmorangie and then told you, you'd go, oh yeah, absolutely. But it's
not as floral as a Glencadum, but the flowers are there too.
But the creaminess to it, the mouthfeel. Yeah. It's got a great mouthfeel.
I'm enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of butterscotch, almost like a butterscotch level of a good bourbon.
Almost like a butterscotch candy, like if you took from your grandpa.
And it's good.
Because you had to take them from your grandpa. Because grandpa wouldn't give them to you. You wouldn't spell those words right.
It's because he doesn't like you.
Sorry, flashback.
Okay, ready? Everybody ready for Harm?
You're a complete bastard and we all hate you.
That was his grandfather, so. What'd you think, Brent?
Okay, on this one here, I got a lot of the cherries and lemons on the nose. It was nice and pleasant. And then on the palate, I got, you know, cherries, lemons, a little bit of cinnamon, raspberries. It was just a very warming, nice warming palate. I'm going to say this for this right here is that if you're looking to switch over from a bourbon to a scotch, this would be a really nice stepping stone for somebody to do that. You know, because it's got some of those bourbon characteristics, and it doesn't have all the scotch characteristics that people associate the smoke and the peat. And this is a nice little stepping stone.
It is a classic. I mean, we've done Glenmorangie on the show.
Right.
I think maybe about a year ago we did an episode in conjunction with them. They were sponsoring the British Open, and they sent us a bunch of stuff. Just extremely well put together whiskey.
Right. Very nice.
What do you think, Justin?
I think this nosed to me like a Pinot Noir, a little light cherry accents to it.
Yeah, there's definitely a cherry note to the nose.
And a little lemon on the end. On the palate, it was really smooth. And yeah, it tastes like a pretty good bourbon. Yeah. So I could see why Brent liked it. And it had a long finish for 12 year. And air didn't really change this one much. It changed the other spirits.
No, this one's dramatically. This one has stayed. And sometimes I do and sometimes I don't.
I've gotten more lemon with the air.
Yeah, the lemon maybe have kicked up a touch.
Okay.
But other than that, it's the palate's still the same. So.
Did somebody say lemon custard?
Yeah.
Because this is that custardy notes coming out, the creamy.
Well, that creaminess that you get with a Glenmorangie. So we're going to be rating the Glenmorangie 12-year-old, batch 4, four sips. So we're going to move on to our last one, and we're going to have Brent tell us about it. It's
All I have is a bottle of very, very, very old scotch. Whiskey.
There you go.
You guys knew I was waiting to review.
Take it
this
away,
one.
Brother. It's all you.
Yeah, this is the King of Pete. This is the Boutique Whiskey Company. This is Isla number 2, batch number 4.
And I just want to say thank you for sending a bigger bottle of this stuff because I'm repouring it. Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, this is a 25-year-old, 97.2 proof, 48.6 ABV. The color, it's a nice, it's a yellowish, greenish. It's a nice, it's got, I don't know why it's got a green tint to it.
It's a greenish,
you know?
Copper.
Yeah, and
like
stuff,
it's oxidized.
You know. So on the nose, the first time under the nose, all you get is peaty, smoky. It's just it overwhelms. It's just you
there's
have
a
to,
reason we no. let Brent do this.
Yes. No, I mean it's all you get when you put this under your nose.
The King of Pete.
I'm going to tell you right now. When the first, all you can smell when you put this under your nose at first is that peaty smoke that it's just overwhelming. You have to go back and you have to. You kind of like wave off some of that smoke.
Put a drop of water in it.
Yeah, and you get and then you can get the you get some grapefruit notes to it and a little bit of orange notes to it, you know, afterwards, you know, but it overwhelms it. And now everybody knows that I'm not a smoky peaty fan.
Really? We never got that.
You know. And after the nose you're just expecting everything to be overpowered. And this one here on the palate, this is probably one of the most balanced scotches that I've ever had. It's
seriously,
it's got the smoke, it's got that smoke to it, and it's but it's light and it blends well. It's got the toffee, a little red licorice, a little bit of oiliness to it, and it really kind of balances out. Now the nose, I would be like, oh, there's no way that it's going to be way, way too much, but this is probably the most balanced one I've ever had.
That's amazing coming from you.
He's come to the dark side.
No, I'm not coming to the dark side. I'm not going to buy a bottle.
He would never
of this.
Buy a bottle.
I'm not going to buy a bottle of this.
All things Scottish. Our slogan is, if it's no Scottish, it's crap.
That's Brent now. What do you think, Justin?
So, nosing this 25-year-old batch for Islay, it reminded me of an Ardbeg nose. It had a little bit of coke and ash to it, which really isn't reminiscent of Ardbeg, and the smoke on this one is really well balanced with peat. I got some sweet toffee and licorice, and it had an oily viscosity to it that was really nice. And then it had like a little bit of salt at the end. And this is celebrate making it through the end of the world whiskey. It's really, really good stuff. What'd you think, Harm?
I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm really embarrassed that I cannot identify it from the taste because it should be more distinctive to me. There's what you talk about, coke and ash from like a blacksmith's forge or something you said. Did that you say that? Or coke, it's something Brent, Bob said it off air. But it's like this is not the wood smoke, peat. This is that minerally peaty note, and it's freaking gorgeous. And there's waves of it, and there's smoke, and there's after adding water, you get the fruit on the nose, but it did, I kind of agree with Brent, it was just overpowering, which I was find surprising the 25-year-old Isla, because 25-year-old whiskeys, the peat mellows. I cannot imagine what this did to people when it was younger. A 9-year-old could have killed children.
Yeah, and when this one ended, 8 or 9 years, it probably, if you emptied it, pulled the bung and rolled it over, it'd come out in chunks.
Yeah, it's just
because I mean, the older Isla gets, you know, the peat definitely
mellows
over time. And I've been lucky to have some really. I mean, when we were at Ardbeg, we had some pretty old stuff.
I don't want to hear about your trip to Ardbeg. I'm
it
still
was
jealous.
Awesome.
Still jealous.
You know what the best part was? He wasn't there.
Oh, bastard.
But it definitely goes down. But this one, oh my God. Yeah,
oh God, this
thing had to have been like a jackhammer at 12 years old.
So so I'm thinking like 9, 10 years old, this would have killed people.
Yeah.
15, maybe you'd have to pick it out with your teeth with a toothpick. But at 25, it's still a monster, and it's gorgeous. But
it's
got
that,
as Brent said,
oiliness, it's got that saltiness.
As Brent just said, it's so well integrated on the palate.
Well, we're going to rate this one 5 sips.
Oh, my
salty, goodness. Right? Salty.
Yes. 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 Mm.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and you can catch all of our episodes where you found this one, as well as on terrestrial and satellite radio, and online at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, CBS Radio, Radio.com, Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean, Stitcher, TuneIn, I can't even count them all. Pretty much any place that you can listen to a podcast. The easiest way to find this show on your phone is to ask Alexa, Siri, or Google, play podcast Sips, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day at SipsudSmoke, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands of other fans on those social media platforms. And you can check us out on Instagram at SipsudsandSmokes or at MadeManBob. Do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. It's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. I want to thank our co-host for joining us. Thank you so much, Dr. Pete.
You're welcome. When do we let Maury out of the other room?
Well, let's check with the alligators
first. We don't.
First.
We don't.
Never.
We don't.
Yeah. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Bob. I can't believe we get to do this. We're so lucky, and thank you all for listening.
I can't believe we got Brent to actually love a Petey whiskey.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I can still taste it, you know.
Yep. And Harmeet?
Thank you for having
me, Bob.
You're
a complete bastard, and we'll hate it.
I hate you all, too. Except the listeners. We love you. I love you guys. But I was here for the miracle. I was here for when Brent said he liked a Petey whiskey.
Poor Maury. He missed it. He's gonna have to wait for this show to actually come on to actually hear this.
If we let him out of the basement.
That Brent gave top marks to a 25-year-old peated Iowa scotch. Dear God.
It deserved 5 sips.
Yeah. Well, for Made Man Bob, thanks for joining us.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.